All right. Well, good morning. Another great morning here at Elixir Brewing. We're so grateful. Colleen's here to open up the place. She got here today and realized she lent her keys to somebody. So she was like freaking out. And we're like, it's okay. And so she ran out, got some keys, came back, opened up for us. Colleen, we're so grateful for you. Colleen's a school teacher. So she said the start of school has gone well so far, right? How many of you guys here are in education? I'm just curious. Okay, good. Things going okay? Are you already going? Oh no. This class that I got, I have 9 more months with these guys. Hopefully that's not the case. Well, let's see. This morning I'm excited. We're going to give a vision update. Like, where are we? What's going on? We've got the Hillside Project going on. And a lot of you, you know, as people come in, it's like, well, what's going on with this church? Who are you? What are you about? You're meeting in a brewery. Where are we going here? So we're going to try to bring everybody up to speed with what's happening in the life of the church. And in the process, Alex is my brother-in-law, but he's also our chief architect for everything that's going on at Hillside. They're working on and finishing up drawings. And so we talked about, we'll give kind of the verbal sort of vision update on the church, and then we'll have a visual update in a few weeks. I think we'll be able to see what we're talking about. And there's always going to be some changes, tweaks and stuff, but we'll be able to start to see images of what's happening up at the Hillside property. But as I'm thinking today, as I start off the vision, the verse that came to my mind, it may be familiar to a lot of you, but I mean, it just marks everything that we're doing. And it's Psalm 127, verse 1. And it says this: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Unless God is doing his thing, we're up a creek. We're not trying to make something. We're like sailors out on the ocean with no wind. We got our sail up, but we're just sitting out there with nothing happening. And unless the Holy Spirit is blowing through this room and through this congregation, we're not going to go anywhere. And it doesn't matter what we build. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to accomplish the purposes that we desire it to. And the thing that I feel so good about what God is doing here is I absolutely believe and know that it's God's thing. It's not my thing. It's not Ray's thing. It's not our leadership team's thing. It's not the congregation's thing. We know that God has given us a vision. And so we're, as I say often, just trying to follow the breadcrumbs that he's laying down. And it's just unbelievable. You hear more as I go through today of just what God has done to affirm and confirm that direction and the vision. I think back to a friend years ago who had this same type vision of opening up an event space and having it be used for ministry and community and all that. And I walked with him all the way through. He opened up the space and it was just dead. Like, nobody rented space. I mean, within 2 years, they were closed. And at one point, I think we were on a men's retreat or something, and he was just despondent and discouraged, you know. And it came up and I said, well, something along the lines of praying about it. He said, you know, I didn't pray one time about this whole thing. And, you know, it was a blind spot in his life. And I would have looked at him and thought, he's a mature believer. You know, I would have thought that. But he never thought to pray and ask God, is this what you want? And so as we continue and to pray and to ask God, we ask you to continue to do that for us. The leadership team is doing that. We're just begging God, would you continue to lead us? Give us your direction, your vision, your wisdom. Let us know what you want us to do. And I'm confident that's happening. Our team is praying fervently. But it's God's plans, not our plans. We're his workers. We're here just to do what he wants us to do. And then the verse when it says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. It's God's protection. He's the one that's watching over us. We're doing our job, but he's accomplishing his purposes through us. And then our role is just submission to God to do whatever he wants to do. You know, it's very possible that he'll bring us to the precipice, the edge of this property, and something goes wrong. in our eyes. It's very possible that he doesn't have us up there at some point. We don't think that's going to happen, but it could happen. And so at that point, at whatever point in the process, who are we following? Are we following God? Are we following the plans that we feel like are, and now we're grabbing hold of the plans more than we're grabbing hold of God. So our desire is all the way through, and there are going to be tests of faith, and there's going to be opportunities to stretch and grow our faith. And I would not be surprised if there are some things that happen along the way. There already have been that cause us to go, who are we clinging to? Are we clinging to these plans, these buildings, this property, or are we clinging to God? And are we just going to go wherever he wants? So I think that's going to be a challenge for us all along. We just want to go wherever he is and do whatever he wants us to do. So I'm going to just recap. It's in your notes here. What is the vision, the mission? What are the values of Good News Church? Just so you can understand what we are about. our vision is, and this was all very well thought out, and the leadership team came together a few years ago to really iron out every word of what we're talking about has been prayed over and ironed through. But our vision is to experience and express love from God to others. Just that simple. Love is highlighted in the middle. That's what we're about. The verse that goes with that is Galatians 5:6, where Paul says, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if we have not love, we're just a loud banging gong, clanging cymbal. We're a distraction. We don't want to be a distraction. We want to be a blessing. So it's all about love. Our mission is, how do we intend to accomplish the vision? The vision is love, experiencing love from God first. We can't give away what we don't have ourselves, right? So we have to experience that ourselves. And as a side note, that's why we really encourage all the time, personal Bible reading and prayer. That is the way that God interjects and inhabits us by his Spirit, is through his word and through spending personal time with him. Groups are good. Big groups like this, small groups of four or five, but it's that one-on-one time with the Lord that matters so much. So we have to experience the love of God for ourselves before we can ever hope to give it away. But the mission on how to do that is to connect with people and build relationships through community workshops, neighborhood-focused ministry, serving local needs, mentoring, and worship. Mentoring is another kind of word for discipleship. Discipleship we would call spiritual mentoring, but also just coming alongside of anybody in need. You know, whether it's children in schools that just need role models, it could be high school students, teenagers, it could be single moms, it could be widows, widowers, anybody that has need, coming alongside and being a friend, being a cheerleader. That's really what mentoring is all about. The whole workshop thing, we hope to be able to use the property, and we'll talk more in a minute, but that's an idea of what are the needs and the desires that people have in the community. You know, it could be, and Kelsey Tinker a few years ago led a CPR workshop for us. So giving practical things, felt needs, it could be, you know, how to smoke meats on your smoker, it could be how to lay tile in your bathroom, just any kind of a workshop that allows us to come alongside and connect with people in our community, give them practical skills, and then we develop friendships in the context of that. So it really is, I mean, the gospel begins with relationship. So our mission is to just be in places where people are that know Jesus and that don't know Jesus, and try to develop friendships through that. That's the mission. Our values are, this is not in your notes, but being yourself, just being able to be yourself, that's a huge value. It's a reason that a lot of people just get jaded with church. And I guess in the last week or two, I've thought, you know, I think the way that I would summarize that is we want to help people and encourage people be able to be themselves 7 days a week, not just 6 days a week. A lot of people, there's a disconnect between their church friends and their regular life friends. And the way that they behave around their church friends is different than their, you know, everyday life friends. And we just want continuity where there's no pretense. We don't have to pretend to be anything. We can just be who we are. And I think God is doing a special and unique thing in this church through that, but just a value of being able to be ourselves. We don't need to pretend and have it all together, because none of us don't, okay? None of us have it together. We are all struggling with something. You know, when we think about addiction or temptation, we all have propensity towards addiction and temptation in certain things, whether we're actively pursuing it or thinking about it. You know, our hearts crave every other thing other than Jesus quite often. So we all struggle, and we just need to be honest about that. Relationships is another value. Growing relationships with God, I mentioned already, through personal prayer and Bible reading, each other, through mentoring, relationships with neighbors, relationships in our community, just being out and about, not just being among ourselves, but being salt and light to the world that we live in, to the community that we live in, and just being there, being in the concession stand and rubbing shoulders against people that we don't know, and then relationships develop, and who knows what God does with that. But nothing's going to happen if we don't, if we're not mixing it up with people. And so relationships are important. Conversation, the way that we do our worship service, is really important. I think that everybody in this room has something to say or something that's valuable to bring to the table, whether you say it or whether you shoot it in an email or a text or express it, but not just the people up front. We try to make the service conversational, but we also try to create opportunities and experiences for all of us to be in conversation, to learn from each other, to grow from each other. Discomfort is a value, because it's how we grow. Just challenging, push into discomfort, even just a little bit. The comfort zone is where growth just sort of becomes stagnant. And so I know, as we open up the service, for a lot of us, it's like, I'm not going to say, I got something really good, but I'm not going to say anything. That's okay. You don't have to say anything. But I always encourage, push out into discomfort a little bit, whether it's that or something else. Just continue. And I have to challenge myself in the same way to push out into discomfort. It's where God meets us. It's where our faith gets stretched, all those good things. And then the last of the values, and there's a lot more things, but these were the things that came to our mind, is hospitality. Opening ourselves, opening our homes, just opening ourselves up to people. I think hospitality is just one of the most incredible things that we have in the Christian community. People don't invite anybody over to their homes anymore. But the church is really, that's what we're known for. So I think with hospitality, even just opening up ourselves, it doesn't have to be in your home. Just open up yourself and have coffee or lunch or something, you know, connecting with people. So hospitality is a high value. It's the best way to experience and express love. I did make a note. I think I may have written down the wrong thing. I think I wrote good news at noon is Sunday, September the 22nd. What I meant to say is good news story is Sunday, September 22nd. So that's when you really come and hear the rest of the story. A lot of what I'm covering tonight or this morning is covered on that evening as well. But that's a great time if you would be somebody that says, you know what, I really love what's going on at this church and I want to express commitment as a covenant partner potentially. That's sort of the first step. It's a great way. It's an informal, casual way to get to know some other people and ask questions and just have a good time doing that. So mark your calendar. We'll be talking about that Sunday, September the 22nd at Hillside. So as I get into sort of what we're about as a church and moving forward, I thought a way to do that in telling the story is at the Planning Commission meeting this past Monday. We mentioned last Sunday that was happening. I was asked to just share kind of a summary of everything that we want to do at Hillside and kind of who we are, give some background, some understanding to that whole thing. And I said, you know, I don't think I've ever done that in less than 30 minutes. But I wrote it out and I just read, and I'm just going to read to you what I read to them, what I said to them, what I said to the Planning Commission and all the people in the room. And it's about 3.5-4 minutes, but I'll just read. This is a summary of really kind of who we are as a church, what we're doing, where we're going, and then I'll make some comments after that. So I'll just go ahead. If you were there, you've heard this, but I'll say it again. My name is Drew Warner. My family and I have lived in Sugar Hill and called Sugar Hill home for the past 20 years. I serve as the pastor of Good News Church, a church born from an idea that began 10 years ago and launched out in an unlikely place, Monkey Wrench Brewing in Suwannee, 3.5 years ago. The vision for our Hillside project stems from countless conversations with people in our community. Many shared a common sentiment. I'm not uninterested in faith. I'm just done with traditional church. This insight led me on a path that I never really expected. 10 years ago, I attended a workshop where I was asked the question, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? My answer was unconventional, And it was, I think I'd start a brewery and launch a church out of it. While it sounded crazy, I felt a strong sense that this was a calling that I needed to pursue. I drafted a plan and shared it with Paul Radford, the Sugar Hill city manager. This was 8 years ago. And Scott Andrews, who formerly worked with the city of Sugar Hill. They were enthusiastic and suggested we consider downtown Sugar Hill for our location. Though the timing wasn't right then, Scott introduced me to Wayne Baxter, who later founded Monkey Wrench Brewing. And shortly after Monkey Wrench opened, our church launched, and Good News Church began out of Monkey Wrench Brewing. Our vision has always been to create a space where people can connect through an event venue, a wedding chapel, and a brewery. This Hillside project is about fostering real connections in a community where people seek meaningful relationships. We want to shift the focus from merely drawing large crowds to being genuine, to building genuine connections. For us, success is not about the size of the crowd, but the depth of the relationships formed. As an example of this, at the start of our worship service each Sunday, we give people an opportunity to share good news or highlights from the week. A few weeks ago, a mom stood up and said, "My good news is that both of my boys are here at church with me today, and they're both sober." These moments are why we do what we do. A snapshot of the vision for the Hillside Project is this: an event venue and a wedding chapel will help sustain and expand our ministry and service to the Sugar Hill community. A coffee house, brewery, tap room will serve as a hub for community interactions and relationships. And our church will provide spiritual nourishment, especially for those seeking a fresh start. We envision this Hillside property as a peaceful retreat where residents can enjoy the beauty of North Georgia right here in Sugar Hill, connect with friends, and experience the love, grace, and joy of God. My family and I have been deeply invested in Sugar Hill through our schools, neighborhood, and community. Our church's growth has amplified our ability to serve, and we see this Hillside vision as taking our ability to love, serve, and bless the Sugar Hill community to a whole new level. A special thank you to the Bice family siblings, Hugh, Michael, Ron, and Denise, who own this property and share our vision. Hugh once dreamed of building a wedding venue and vineyard on this property, and we're thrilled that our aspirations align so perfectly. In closing, I'd like to share a verse that captures the essence of our vision. Jesus said this: "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill or a hillside cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. So that's what I shared with the Planning Commission. In a nutshell, that's really what we're all about. It's what we're doing. And now I'll use the next few minutes just to touch on a few things. Ministry mindset, I'm going to talk about briefly. Ministry impact, what's been going on. Relationships, God connections, which are pretty amazing. A Hillside update specifically, Dave Lee's going to do that. And then lastly, some spiritual encouragement, and we'll wrap up. And these are each brief. But the ministry mindset is this: we don't seek to sit at the best seat at the table. That is not our mindset. We don't want to be in the most prominent and visible places. We never have. That's not what we're about. We look for the seat at the end of the table where no one else wants to sit. And we've seen how God has honored that, how he's using that. We seek to serve where the needs are, in places and opportunities that nobody else has interest. In a way, it started 20 years ago, that mindset started 20 years ago through a neighborhood food drive in our community. And by trimming a 150-foot long hedge at Sugar Hill Elementary. So the food drive started off our neighborhood ministry. The hedge really launched out our community ministry. And those were seeds planted that have just, you know, Jesus talks about the mustard seed that grows into this huge tree, and all kinds of birds of the air find their home. God's done that through these type of things. From that point on, God began to give us favor with influential people and leaders in the community. We never were really looking for that. We were looking to serve and just do the dirty work that nobody else wanted to do. And God just began to start blessing that. In our neighborhood, in the first 12 years of our ministry in our neighborhood after we moved in, we did some reflection on that. We sought to just meet neighbors, to become friends, to start praying that God would do a work in us and in them and open up doors and opportunities for the gospel. I think it was in those first 12 years, we met about 120 or so neighbors. And in those relationships, and the other thing is, the first year we said, we're not going to invite anybody to church. We're not going to initiate spiritual conversation, but we're going to start praying. And we did that, and God just started doing a work in our neighborhood. Those really were the initial seeds of this church. And we counted, kind of looking at, you know, what happened in those relationships. You meet 120-something people, what happened? Well, probably 70% of those folks became friends, you know, just people that we enjoyed and loved being around, and I think they'd say the same about us. Probably half of those 120 or so people we had an opportunity to pray with, to have a spiritual conversation with in a very natural way because there was relationship. And out of those 120 people, we estimate probably about 20% or so of those folks ended up coming to faith or growing in faith or moving closer to Jesus, which is 20-something people over those 12 years, 25 people or so. So God really began to do a work in our community, in our neighborhood. And in the community, the focus really has been on mentoring, coming alongside of kids, this whole All Pro Dad initiative. We've been in mentoring at the elementary school and also middle school children. We helped start an All Pro Dad in every school in the Lanier cluster. That's why I'm wearing my shirt today, Longhorn Dads. We printed these shirts. We gave away probably five or six hundred, maybe more, to dads all in the community. If you go to any Lanier event, you'll see these shirts all over the place. They have our logo on the sleeve, and we've given the community, dads in the community, a vision. Dads serving kids, community, and schools. And dads are really, I mean, it feels like the flywheel is really going in the Lanier cluster in that regard. So it's very exciting. They're getting a lot of national recognition from All Pro Dad in terms of what's going on in the community. It's, you know, pretty exciting that we helped to start do that. Good News Club is another strategic target that we have at Sugar Hill Elementary. It's kind of like a children's ministry that happens after school on campus. You guys have heard about it. But we've had the opportunity over the last 4 or 5 years to influence over 200 kids with the gospel and build relationships with some of their parents. And so just seeds are planted. And through that, relationships with teachers and the principal and administrators. So, I mean, God's doing a great work through that. And currently, we're feeding a ton of people. Lanier High School, Jennifer mentioned earlier, you know, helping out in concessions, but you know, the Longhorn Dad's breakfast once a month on Friday mornings at the Lanier High School. Good News Church sponsors. We pay for that Chick-fil-A breakfast. We've been asked to help feed the JV football team, the band, softball. So there are, and we say yes. You know, if we're asked, Jesus did a ton of ministry through food. And it's a great way to connect with people. And it's opened up doors. And, you know, I think they see, hey, this church is willing to serve. So God is doing some things in places that we wouldn't maybe necessarily say, oh, those are strategic places, but we see him doing great stuff in and through it anyway. And just by the way, we're not limited to Lanier. It just kind of is where we are. But if you've got connections in your local schools, whatever cluster you're in, whatever school you're in, we want to fan the flame and support what you're doing there as well. So I'll talk next. That was ministry impact, ministry mindset, and then just relationships. These are the behind-the-scenes, seemingly spiritually fruitless areas of service, but we've seen God do amazing things through all of these things. He's not only given us a seat, but meaningful relationships with most all of the school principals in the community. We have a relationship with the mayor, with numbers of city council members, with educators, with other pastors. I mean, God's doing an amazing thing, I think, here in Sugar Hill through relationships. And it didn't start by us kind of, you know, barging our way in, it just started by being around and serving. And I think the three words that would dictate our philosophy of ministry is just to love the people around them, around us, to serve wherever there are needs, and to be a blessing wherever we are, to be salt and light. So when we went to before the planning commission the other night, I didn't even realize that I knew and had meaningful relationships with the commission chairperson. Did not know that, but I've known him for 15 years. He's a church planter, and I was an encouragement to him when he was starting his church. He's not planting right now. He's in business. He's not in pastoral ministry. He's in business, but he's a church planter, so he knew us and knows us. And I had no idea that our own Jason Jones was the committee vice chairperson. Had no idea. He told me that day. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm the vice chair on the committee. He had to recuse himself. So, but, you know, how cool is that? So, anyway, kind of in summary there, we're not seeking these influential relationships, but God continues to give them. And it seems like he's giving us favor in Sugar Hill, in and among leaders and in and among residents. And then God connections, as relates to the Hillside Project, when I look at all the specifically and uniquely gifted people that God's brought together for this endeavor, it seems undeniable that this is something that God intends to do. It's an amazing list. Even the current property owners had basically the same vision for what they wanted to do at the property. I mentioned earlier, I had a conversation with Hugh Bice years ago. He said, Hugh, if you could do anything with this property, what would you want to do? He said, I'd want to build a wedding venue and a vineyard for a winery. And I said, well, that's kind of pretty much what we're thinking. So they've been on board. But just those connections, those relational connections. I think that God wants to take everything that's been going on in ministry through us personally, through you personally. He's brought us all together. And I think he wants to give us a place to do that, where there's a community hub, a central spot for ministry that can be used by the community, that can be given away as space, but it becomes a gathering place to just take whatever we're doing, the ministries that we're doing, to a whole nother level. So just to give you an idea, I thought this would be fun. Here are some of the people and connections that God has providentially brought us into relationship with. I'm just going to list out. These are since the church started, and even before the church started, he's brought to us a builder. Dave Lee is a builder, builds Chick-fil-A's. He said, Drew, I'm a builder. That's what God called me to do. And it's not just buildings. He said, I build people spiritually through discipleship. That's just who I am. God brought Dave and Kay to our church, and Dave's leading this whole Hillside Project. Without somebody like Dave, we wouldn't be able to go anywhere, but he's leading it. God's brought us a hotel architect with Alex Campbell, a restaurant architect with Jason Jones. And I think Jason's built hotels too, I can't remember. An event space owner, operator in Michael and Krista Ganley. They've done this. You know, we don't know how to run an event space, but they've done it for 20 years, and they're coming to run the space for us. Professional brewers, people who know how to brew beer. Brewery installation professionals, people who install the best brewery installation equipment really in the world, we have relationship with if we decide to go that specific route. Even a couple in our church, the wife told me this past week, she said, I've become a beer class instructor. Like, I do beer tastings where I tell people the different styles and types and what to expect and all that. So, and she's a personable person. So to inhabit the space as a connector, those type of personalities that are what we want there. And so, I mean, very specific interior designer, decorators, professional artists, writers, visionary business leaders, financial planners, advisors, even a guy who started a bank is in our sphere of relationships in terms of financing and all that. You know, how many people do you know that start a bank? Well, he did, and he's successful. Professional photography, church planting coach, a logo design artist is a friend of ours who designed our logo, who's done logos for the Lanier Fishing team. And he's helpful for us with marketing and communications. Entrepreneurial business advisors, very, very successful business people. One of the persons in our sphere of relationships and influence, we think he was, if not the highest, most, he was certainly one of them. During COVID, he was importing face masks and sanitizer directly from China, had a chain of command, chain of connection from China to the U.S., that he controlled the whole thing. And we think at one time he was bringing in more of those items than anybody else. And he's in our corner. He loves what we're doing. He was one of the first guys that I took this vision to 10 years ago. So he's been with us the whole time. Even the Hillside property owner, we had a relationship with Hugh Bice and Michael Bice long before this vision ever happened. And so when it came about, they were there. God planted them there. But builders, worship leaders, associate pastor, even Ray. Ray and I were doing ministry through All Pro Dad at Sugar Hill Elementary, you know, far before this idea ever came about for a church. So God has just seeded us with relationships. And I mentioned the mayor, brewery owners who have the same vision. It's just on and on and on. Cooks, food prep, Jason Jones, Craig Snyder, musicians, children's workers, laborers, willing servants. Just the list goes on and on and on and on. In a small church like this, all of these specific connections are really what you need to start something like what we're doing. And it's very unique that all of these people with all of these gifts, skills, attributes, talents, experiences are in this one church. We really don't have to go outside of the walls of this church, I think, for hardly any of our needs as relates to this project. We do have people that are against us. And, you know, I'm grateful that to know who they are, because we've started praying for them, praying God's blessing over them, praying that God would just accomplish whatever he wants in their lives. I don't know what God wants to do in their life or in our lives, but we can pray blessing over them. So we've started to do that. And we have people that are for us. The most affected property owner in the neighborhood next to that Hillside property has become a dear friend. And she spoke up at the planning meeting, the commission meeting the other night, and said, "My home is going to be the most affected, and I can't wait for this to happen. It's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be a wonderful thing." So she's our biggest advocate. So with that being said, I'll ask Dave to come up, and you can give us a kind of pick up from the wherever you want to pick up. But I'm thinking give an update on the planning commission meeting and then where things go from there. And then I'll wrap it up. Oh, sure, yeah.
This is dangerous because I like to talk with my hands. So as Drew said, I've also never spoken from a tablet before, so we are facing opposition, and the opposition is in my printer. I wanted to lay hands on it and smash the demons out of it this morning, but my wife stopped me before I did that exorcism. As Drew said, it is freakish, the number of connections, relationships, and people. And I thought about one of these days, if it keeps going, we're going to have to draw this out, and it's going to look like a spider web. But there is one person on that team I think you should pray for. Could you imagine taking the input of a whole bunch of people, what this vision should look like, and then putting it on paper so it could be built? I'm in construction. I wouldn't do that for anything. Alex Campbell's trying to do that. So if anybody on that team needs some prayer, it's probably Alex. So quick status. We are really close to finalizing the design of the buildings for the venue and the wedding chapel that will be right next to it, courtyard in between. Very close on the final design for the brew pub. It'll have a kind of small restaurant, probably fairly simple food to serve. And probably one of our biggest challenges, though, is figuring out exactly where to place the buildings on the property. Most of you probably have been there, and it's very steep grades. We're a little concerned Stone Mountain might be under all that grass. There's some evidence of that. So Tuesday morning, we're doing a few dozen borings to find out how much and how deep the rock is. And that'll go a long ways to figuring out where we put the building. So I'm anxiously awaiting for that. Drew mentioned the city council or the planning commission meeting on Monday. So I woke up Monday, despite the prayers we had on Sunday, I woke up very early, starting to sweat bullets. And I had a lot going on at work that day, the meeting that night, didn't feel like I was prepared. And a devotion came up, and oddly enough, I wasn't gonna mention this, but this just seems like the timing's too good. It was on Psalms 103. And verse 14, and here I am thinking, how am I going to get this done today? Anyway, It says, he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are dust. And I thought, yeah, that applies. A few verses later, it says, the Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. Everything includes the city of Sugar Hill. So got a little bit of peace and encouragement from that. So we went to the meeting Monday, and we did face some opposition. And the way this works is we submit a lot of information to the planning and building staff at the city. We gave them exactly what they wanted, verified it twice, spoke with them on the phone three times, and we showed up at the meeting, and they made a recommendation, the staff did, to the planning commission. Then the planning commission makes a recommendation to the city council next month. Like a long story longer, the planning commission ends up tabling and does not complete the rezoning that we need City Hill, the city to do, because they didn't have enough information. Because of the prayer and because of that verse in the morning, I didn't lose my grip, but it was frustrating. It was disappointing, to say the least. So we've already started giving them the information they want. Have another call tomorrow. So hopefully we can satisfy their concerns. And I'm sure we will. Another verse, ironically, came up this morning. I was trying to figure out what to say, what you'd want to know. So when I get done blabbing here in a minute, welcome any questions you might have. But this was also just God's timing's perfect and his word's powerful. It was from a Fellowship of Christian Athletes devotion. And it starts, if you play sports or if you're in development and construction, then you'll face disappointment. If your team is not having the season you hope for, or the city council is not working with you, you could be disappointed. There are two things to remember in the face of disappointment. One is that we are made in God's image. Genesis says this clearly. His imprint is on us, making us unique in all creation. This gives us value. Our value is not found in what we do or what we achieve or how well we present at a city hall meeting. Secondly, remember that that as you pursue what God has put on your heart, don't get tired of doing what is right throughout that pursuit. Galatians 6, Paul reminds the Galatian church that making efforts for God is hard, but it'll be worth it when the harvest comes if we don't give up. Doing things for the Lord in the right way may seem harder, but they glorify the Lord in the end. And as the Bible says in Galatians 9, we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. So times of disappointment don't last forever. Don't let your spirit be bogged down with negative thoughts. You carry the image of God on you, and he has given you something to do. It will come to pass if you keep going. That was encouraging. So we don't really know what all God has planned for Hillside. As Drew said, we're just trying to be trusting, obedient, and follow the breadcrumbs and stay in the center of his will. And we feel like we're doing that. We know we're going to meet opposition. I had lunch with the Drakes, who were very deeply involved in all this, Monday before the meeting, and said, you know, it's been pretty easy so far. I hope tonight's not the night we start meeting that opposition. It's ironic. Anyway, but it does. When you look at all the people, as Drew mentioned, that he's been lining up and some of the things that have come to pass so far, he's got to be up to something. So it's our job to just stay in the center of that will and follow him. So if you would be praying for that and be praying for unity among the team, because we got a lot of voices, all got the same intent, but it's hard to stay unified and keep pushing in the same direction. So does anybody have any questions about what's going on? Anything could answer for you? That was a pretty high level overview. Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
Where is the money coming from to fund this? Because obviously this is a multi-million dollar.
I thought that might come up.
who's gonna own it? Just, you know, I'd like, you know, like, where's the who's gonna own this, and where's the money coming from?
I heard
it,
Jason.
Yeah. It's only gonna be about a $10 million project, with including buying the land. So if anybody's got any friends with $10 million, please introduce us. Seriously, we've got the money to do all the development work, all the design, all the everything to get a permit. Now, to buy the land and build it, which is obviously the biggest piece of that, we've got to find some investors. And we're not quite ready to start advertising to find investors and get them to the table. We've talked to several people who are interested and people with a lot of means. So we're hoping probably a little over a month from now, we'll be able to show them a picture, show you. Here's where the buildings are going. Here's what they're going to look like. Here's what the business plan is. Here's the pro forma. Here's how these they're going to generate revenue. Here's what the cost is. Here's the return, and get them to invest. Now, we only want kingdom-minded investors. We're not opening this up to the public and people who are looking for a huge return because this is a kingdom-minded project. And we want people who are excited about bringing the community to Hillside so they can encounter the kingdom of God. So we're counting on God bringing forth all those people who have the money and that vision. That is God's issue to work out. But that's the attempt substance so great for God that God must be in it or it's doomed to fail. There we are. We can get the thing designed and built, but we're counting on God to provide the people with the funds. That sounds scary, doesn't it?
And the interesting thing about that is we can't really go to the potential investors until we have all of the details and everything ready. So, I mean, God is forcing us to really walk by faith in that. And, you know, we can't kind of shore things up to make sure that we've got it before we move forward. It's a part of the process. We got to get everything together on our side before we go start presenting it to investors.
Yeah, a little idea that the timing, we won't probably submit for a permit until December or January. So we won't really need money to buy the land until December or January. So we've got the time to get our ducks in a row. So we got a really good plan that we can present to people to fund it.
I know that there's, I got the microphone so it overpowers you. Sorry, Braden. I know there's different statuses of like 501c3. Are we set up to where we can give receipts for like donation services given, like building materials given, labor given, donated, things like that?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
We're going to have to be a for-profit. We've looked into it, talked to some really smart people, several. And to do a nonprofit's not going to work. So we're not sure we can do anything from a nonprofit basis. We're hoping we can own the church can own the land somehow and be part of a nonprofit. We created an LLC for that. But we're not sure if we're going to be able to receive non-charitable donations for that. For the design and all the preliminary stuff, yes, because we're actually, the church is actually paying for that through money that's been donated. So until we buy the land and start to build, yes.
Okay.
So why don't we do this? Braden, did you have a quick question? Just so we can end it around the normal time that we do. And we're sticking around. Jason's doing brisket tacos for lunch. If anybody has questions, you're welcome to stick around, talk to Dave or me or Alex. Is there another question we want to hit? Yeah, Sarah.
I was just curious if you are able to share what some of the issues were that people were concerned about. What were the opposition issues, if you can?
Two of them, basically. Traffic and safety.
Exactly.
And it was really traffic. There was a lot of drama. There were some incredible accusations made. A little bit of assault on our pastor. There was some pretty outlandish comments made, but it all really boiled down to traffic. And the ironic thing, and we'll present this at the next planning commission, it's zoned right now residential. We're trying to rezone it to commercial. And if someone was to build homes there, you could build 90 homes, cut every tree down. It looked like a big barren hill. It looked horrible. We want to build and preserve as much as we possibly can of that. You can put 90 homes on it, and that's going to be a lot bigger traffic issue. So I'm pretty hopeful that we can help, hopefully the neighbors, but especially the Planning Commission and City Council understand that.
Yeah, Christina.
I think what confused a lot of people was it said residential on the signs, because I saw a few posts floating around, and they're envisioning you're building this whole space with townhomes, all this stuff. I think from what I saw on the comments, that was confusing because you stated it was for residential use as well on those signs. So,
Yeah, that was the city.
Yeah.
Not to throw them under the bus, but we wanted to give them more detailed plans, and they said, oh, no, what you have is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, real quick.
Yeah.
Timing, I mean, we know things can be moved around, but so let's say this, let's just say by God's grace, it gets approved by the city council. We go to closing at the end of this year. What then?
Well, right now the plan is to build the brew pub first and then the event venue space. And it's probably a 6-month build. So if we can start construction February, March, be open by maybe August, hopefully September. We would start the venue after that, but probably lag that by 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
The hope would be, and this is a big challenge. This is also going to need God's help. That by next fall, almost a year from now, we'd be in the space. But we don't need to start making plans yet.
Yeah. So very specific things to be praying for, and we'll continue to keep you posted. Thank you, Dave, for the update, and thank you for your leadership. This involved a ton of time for a guy who's already super busy. But fortunately for us, it strikes right to the heart of his passion. Before the church was ever started, Dave and Kay had a vision to build a wedding venue and basically do the same type of thing. And then after the church started, they realized, wow, right idea, wrong location. And so God merged. We had no idea God was merging those visions. So I'll wrap up with this, some spiritual encouragement. So I can technically say I gave a sermon. But in my reading this past week, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, in response to the news that a vast army was coming against them from Edom, he said this, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's how we feel. We're going to come under attack. If we weren't coming under attack, I think it might say that, oh, well, maybe we're not doing what God wants us to do. And what's interesting is Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, was a great king in Israel. He was a great king. But at the end of his life, it says this, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the doctors. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his ancestors. So he lived a full life, but at the end of his life, he didn't go to God. He just said, no, I'll handle it practically. I'll talk to the doctors. That's not the direction that we want to go. Jehoshaphat did that. He said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I love this. As a result of Jehoshaphat's prayer, this was prophesied by Jahaziel, the prophet. He said, this is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And then it says, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So Jehoshaphat's response was just to sing and give praise to God. Give God the glory. That's our track, is to continue to pray and to praise and just leave everything else up to God. It's his job. It's his vision to protect, to provide, to do everything that needs to take care of the battles, to take care of the enemies, and we just trust him. And then as a part of his army, we don't fight with the same weapons that anybody against us does. We fight with love. We fight with love. We continue to love. We continue to serve. We continue to bless. We continue to pour out grace. I think the most transformational thing, the way that our hearts are transformed, is when we receive grace, What is grace? It's receiving what you know that you don't deserve. And the best way to do that is how we treat those who are opposed to us. And they may have very good reasons and concerns, but as was said, some of the things that were said were bordered on slander and just mean-spirited stuff. So there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anger, but we know that the gospel addresses those things. We all have fear, we all have anger, and we can speak from our own experiences. So Nikki Gumbel said this in closing. He said, just because you're facing battles in your life at the moment, it doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Sometimes you face battles not because you're doing something wrong, but because you're doing something right. And all of us, whether it's this Hillside Project, we talked about it earlier, we all face battles. Sometimes it's from our own doing, sometimes it's because we're on the right track. So the encouragement for all of us is just to stand firm, to fall on our face, to pray, and to praise God in the midst of the battle and trust that He will deliver us. So that's good news for us, and I'll pray, and we'll continue and close our service. Father, we are so grateful that you are our defender, you're our shelter, you're our shield, you're our provider. We've seen it happen all the way through so far from the very start of this church, from the very beginning, even before the beginning of this church. Just you're up to something very new, very unique, very exciting. We've already seen how you've used Good News Church in the lives of people, in the lives of communities and schools, and in the Sugar Hill community, and expanding outward into Suwannee and Buford and Duluth, and wherever it is that we live, our neighbors are affected by what you're doing through this church. So would you continue to do your work in and through us? Would you continue to go before us? As we pray and praise, we trust that you will provide and that you will protect. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.